I was reminded of a joke. Yeah, kids, there we go. Good to see the kids this morning. Yes. Pray for Lucy. Anyway, I was listening to somebody, and it reminded me of a particular little joke that I've used before. This is the fall of the year, and it's, you know, close to duck hunting season. I don't know if there's any duck hunters here, probably not, but I've done a little duck hunting, and I've always enjoyed it. And I have a Labrador, a yellow lab, so, you know, he's quite a retriever. And I've been hunting with him, and he does retrieve, and, you know, all this kind of thing. So there's these two fellows. They're friends. They go out to the duck blind, and opening day, they're going to shoot some ducks. Boy, they're quacking away. You've heard those guys that, you know, they're quacking away, quack, 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 bringing the ducks in, and all of a sudden in comes the flock. They get up and they get one. And the one fellow says, "Watch this dog, he's amazing." Fetch! Dog jumps, and he's walking on the water. He's not swimming, he's walking on the water. He's running to the duck. He gets the duck and he runs back, walking on the water. And he gets back and he says, "See what I'm telling you? Look, isn't he amazing?" The other guy said, "I can't believe your dog can't swim." Pretty optimistic fella, huh? Well, today is one of those messages that Jesus shares with us in Matthew chapter 5. You know, we've talked about murder, hate. We've talked about divorce. We've talked about adultery. Now we're talking about even a more relevant, difficult subject that that sometimes we forget about and don't think about, like keeping our word, like allowing Jesus to deal with the helping us when we make promises, to maybe not make the promises or to follow through in what we say. So we're going to see what he says this morning about keeping promises, keeping oaths, following through, and not lying. Now, the premise comes from the commandment, where it says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." You know, that kind of thing. That scripture. Over in Exodus chapter 20. I believe it's in verse 7. So that's the premise this morning of the springboard of where we're heading. So a pilot and a navigator had been shot down, and they were adrift at sea in a tiny lifeboat. After several days without food, water, and sustenance, they lose hope. No one's going to rescue us. So the pilot gets a little frantic, and he begins to call on God in his time of need. And that prayer goes something like this: "God, you know I haven't lived a very good life. I've been a little miserable as a husband as well. And I've been a terrible father. I've not done well as a dad. I really haven't done well, period. I'm just terrible. I've cheated, I've lied, and I've stolen. And I haven't had any use of the church or you, God." But he goes down and says, "But God, if you'll save us from dying out here, I promise I'll never..." And the navigator stops him right there. He says, "Hold it! Hold it! Don't say another word. I think I see land." In other words, he wanted him not to make those promises. So Jesus deals with this issue of making promises. Let's see what he has to say. I think we could say firstly, if I were to make a first point, it would be this. Just stop swearing. Oh, well, we don't swear. Let's read from Scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Again, you have heard it said. Now, there we are. There are six of these. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, don't swear at all, either by heaven or in God's throne, or by the earth, or by his footstool, or by Jerusalem. For it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond that, comes from the evil one. Wow. You've heard it said. We have Jesus starting the same principle, using the commandments to teach us relevant moments within the context of right where we live. This is dealing with the third commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So I guess first of all we could talk about swearing by God, or the things of God, fit into this category, so to speak, of misusing the name of God. Now, probably one of the things that really affects me is when I hear people using the Lord's name in the context of what you shouldn't use God's name for. You know? It just doesn't fit well with me. Matter of fact, I have been known to say, could you just not use that kind of language? I'd appreciate it. You know, I'm not old-fashioned either. But I do believe in a degree of respect for God in every circumstance, in every situation. And I'm not saying you should make mention of it anytime you hear the name of the Lord being used in vain or disrespectful. But there's more to it than that. Profanity is one thing. Basically, it's the careless use of God or Jesus. And that's why I say this is a little different, because God is basically saying, I want you to know that profaning our name is very disrespectful, and you shouldn't do it. You should practice not doing it. So it kind of fits in that profanity, being careless. Now, swearing falsely is perjury. You know what they say in court? Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth before Almighty God in the presence of these witnesses? Do you promise? Now, when you lie to someone, it's one thing. When you lie in a courtroom, under oath, that's something different, isn't it? They call it perjury? Perjury? Maybe? I think that's what they call it. You might say, well, it's just lying. Everybody does it today. It's kind of normal in our society. We hear it every day, one way or another. People are lying. No big deal. No big deal. Well, I wonder if it is a big deal to God. I wonder. I'm just wondering. Now, it may fit all of us. Many of us, maybe in the midst of situations, we don't say the right words. Maybe we use slang. Maybe we talk like we shouldn't. Maybe we do disrespect God and not even know we're disrespecting God by using that kind of name in vain. Profaning his name. But this idea of I swear to God, I'm not own, I'm not lying, is not very good approach to living. Profane the name means disrespecting the name. To swear by the name of the Lord or to use God's name in an improper way is disrespectful. I think I can honestly say that and say it's relevant information for us today. In regards to the seriousness of making an oath, we read in Numbers 30, verse 2, when a man makes a vow to the Lord and takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything that he said. So in Matthew 5, Jesus is going, using these verses and basically saying the same thing that Numbers is saying. Jesus isn't saying, pay no attention to your oaths. That's no big deal. On the contrary, he understood the seriousness of keeping an oath, keeping your word, keeping your commitment, which is why he's saying, don't make one in the first place. Use your mind and discretion before you make a commitment or before you take an oath and make a commitment. Now, this is an interesting day and age we live in, because people break promises all the time. It's no big deal, is it? In our society, we're all tough-skinned. We can take it. Exodus chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says this, when you make a vow to God, a commitment to God, an oath to God, don't delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. I can't help it, but this particular verse tells us that we have to be careful that we're not playing the fool's game and making all kinds of promises and not fulfilling them. Now, Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, it is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. And that's basically what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Don't make these oaths. Don't make these vows. Don't commit it in heaven and on earth. It's God's footstool. In heaven, it's where God resides. And in Jerusalem, just don't do it. That's what basically he's saying, don't do it. So what I'm telling you is this. Jesus is saying, don't practice making these commitments and then not fulfilling them. Don't practice making these oaths and then not fulfilling them. Oh, I promise, I promise, I promise. There's one way to get kids mad. Parents promising and not fulfilling. You know, that can ruin a kid's life. Make all kinds of promises, and you know what? It can ruin adults' lives. Husbands make promises and don't fulfill them. Wives make promises and don't fulfill them. This is old school stuff, but it's relevant for our day because we live in this culture where it seems to me like commitment is very shallow and low. Words are very cheap but spoken negligently and rudely. And we as Christians kind of accept this principle. That's okay. It's we understand the source. But man alive, what about from God's perspective? Maybe we need to take a look at how God sees this and not so much how we see it. Because we see it in a numbing circumstance in the culture we live. It's okay, but it really isn't. In God's eyes, it is the same thing that we have problem with when it comes to adultery. It is sin. I can say it's just as bad to lie as it is to have adultery. Oh, no, no, there's no, uh-uh. I didn't see any degree of sin level when it comes to lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, or hating. I don't see any variation of degree. Do you in the Scripture? So we need to take it very personally and very importantly and seriously as to what God has to say about making commitments and making oaths and this kind of thing. Now, I want to take you to a story over in Judges chapter 11, verses 30 through 35. Making an oath without thinking through it can be really costly. It can be really costly. The book of Judges, there's a young man by the name of Zephthah. He's a commander. And they asked him if he wouldn't go out and kill the Ammonites, if he wouldn't take over the Ammonites win this battle. He said, sure, I'll do it. But the first thing he did, he went to God in prayer, which is a good thing, but he made a commitment. He said, God, if you'll give me these Ammonites and we overcome them, there's one thing I'll do. When I get home, the first thing that comes out my door, I'll sacrifice it to you, a burning sacrifice offering. Just help us win this battle. God gave them the win. They won the battle. He was elated. And so was the tribe. Thrilled. He went home. The first thing that came out the door of his home was his one and only child, his daughter, who was dancing and singing praises. And immediately, he tore his clothes. He ripped himself apart. He was so devastated. Why? Well, God doesn't want us to promise He wants us to be obedient. That's my take on this. You might wonder why God gave the Ammonites into his hands knowing how it would turn out. He knew. I don't understand it all. But why not give the guy a break? Why not just give him a break? I mean, it's his only daughter. He doesn't have another son. This is it. God allowed this to happen. And even though it's tragic and it's hard to swallow, but God teaches us some very, very serious lessons that are awful hard for us to learn and accept. I don't know where you're at in the midst of all this, but I would take very seriously how you promise, and how you look at it, and how you do it. This vow or the swearing of an oath, I can guarantee you this much. In this story, Zephthah never made a flippant vow to God after this. I can guarantee that. Nor did anyone else, for that matter. God taught the nation. He taught the tribe. He taught them that God allows a tragic situation to communicate the seriousness of something holy. Now, is God holy? Yes. Yes, He is. Remember Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament? I think it's Acts chapter 5, somewhere in there, maybe 4. I didn't read it, but the story just came to me. They're big deals. Sold property. They didn't give everything they said they gave. They went to Ananias. Ananias lied. Make a long story short, he died. Sapphira came by and she did the same thing. They gave much less than they said. Be careful when you lie. careful you don't accept. What can I say? It's a commandment. Be nice if God gave passes all the time, wouldn't it? Just didn't matter to him. Well, it does. And I'm here to tell you this morning, and maybe you can be thankful that I am willing to share with you the importance of keeping your word, keeping it straight, not accepting lies, not giving all kinds of passes, but facing the reality of the importance of taking seriously God and his word, and seeing how God views it, not so much about how you view it through the filter of your culture, but using the filter of God's word. Amen. And I want to teach you the truth, and this is the way to look at it. William Burkett's commentary states that the Pharisees taught that perjury was the only breach of the third commandment, and that swearing was nothing, no big deal. If we did not recant themselves, and that people were only obliged to swear by the name of God in public courts of justice, but in their ordinary and common discourse, they might swear by any of the creatures. So the Jews would swear by heaven. This is why Jesus addressed it. The Jews would swear by earth, or they'd swear by Jerusalem, to keep from swearing by the name of God and think it was okay. They believed God to be sacred, but these other things, not so much. In other words, we might believe God is sacred, but God's views on things, it's no big deal. He'll give us all kinds of passes. Well, I look at our culture and I look at our world today and wonder just how many passes we're getting. We need to be very serious about how we approach and how we view and how we perceive the God that we live for and love and serve. We know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We know that he reconciled us back to God. But he also teaches these other views of how we should look at him and how we should understand who God is and how we should take into effect in our own life the importance of living by the principles of obedience in God's word. So when we say I swear to God, or I swear on my life, or I swear on my grandmother's grave, or I swear on a stack of Bibles, you don't have any business doing that. You think that isn't relevant for today? I've heard those cliches a lot. It isn't so much what it says, it's what it represents. So be careful how we use it. Now, Jesus had to address the Pharisees on this issue. And he does it over in Matthew chapter 23. You can read it there, verses 16 through 22. It says, "Woe to you, blind guides!" He calls them blind guides. In other words, they're not good teachers. They're blind. They're blindly teaching people, and they're guiding people wrongly. They're teaching them the wrong things. He says, "Woe to you! If anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. No big deal. But boy, if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, that's worth fighting for. The material things, much more important than the temple itself." He says he's bound to his oath, "You blind fools. Which is greater, the gold or the temple?" We would say, many of us, in terms of the context of not understanding, the gold is more important than the temple. But is it really now? Remember God's point of view? So Jesus also goes on and says, if anyone swears by the altar, and it means nothing, but if anyone swears by the gift on the altar, he's bound to his oath. He says, "You blind men, Which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Dedicating, committing it. Put yourself there. Which is more important? The altar through. Therefore, he who swears by the altar and by everything on it, and he who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Now, Jesus was not supporting oaths here. He highlights the Pharisees' hypocrisy. Putting things before what is most important. Putting things before that. Now, don't you dare think you should put things before God, put things before Him. Don't you think that you should be able to have any privilege of putting things before God? You're supposed to keep Him first in all of your life. He's supposed to be number one. Don't be tempted to do it like our culture teaches. We've got to be a little different than the world, you know. The Pharisees valued gold and the gift more important than the altar. So when we make oaths using the name of God or the things of God, we minimize their value. Now, see what I mean about old-fashioned? This is something we don't talk about a lot. Just as one of those things we'd rather not cover. And I think probably one of the reasons is we all have a problem with it. Am I including myself? Yeah. Yeah. I've been reminded this week of the importance of this whole idea. Now, the bottom line is this. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Now, what Jesus is really saying in all of this is that honesty and integrity is most important. Be a person who doesn't need to make oaths or to lie in order to be taken seriously. You know, people that lie a lot, I can remember. I had this one, matter of fact, still a friend. But he'd always have this ability to stretch the truth. Always stretching the truth, fabricating things and talking about people and lying. And all of a sudden, you know, people begin to know who he was. And you know what happened? He had very little influence. He had a reputation of being a liar. Is that always good? No. No, it's not. God's Word ought to be our filter, so we need to understand, not just from John Carr, this is God's Word. Honesty and integrity is the way to go. Back in the day when a person gave their word, that's all that was needed. If you developed a reputation of not being good on your word, then a promise wasn't going to make much of a difference. And I already mentioned the idea, I could take you to a child right now. Who's been lied to time and time again. From both his mother and his father. I can show you the anger and the misbehavior. Matter of fact, if you go to any schools, I could just about point out when a boy or a girl is acting out and is defiant and is rebellion, there's really a couple of reasons for that. Could be they're abused in some way, but the other reason is they're lied to by their mother and their father, and they can't take anyone seriously that's important to them. And what happens is they get defiant, rebellious, and have emotional, mental conflicts, disruptions, and struggles. I don't think we know how important telling the truth is. I don't think we understand. I know I have admitted to myself, I need to have a deeper measure of my perception of who God is. Because if I want to be Christ-like, I better get a good look at who God is so that I can live in accordance to His plan and purpose for my life.
Amen.
You and I as well. You don't have to take my word seriously, but take God's word seriously, okay? Mm-hmm. Integrity and honesty, responsibility above all. A wealthy man lay on his deathbed. When his preacher came to visit, he talked about God's healing power, and he then prayed for his parishioner. When he was done, the man said, Pastor, if God heals me, I'm going to give the church $1 million. I'm going to give the church $1 million. Miraculously, the man was healed. The businessman got better, and within a few short weeks, he was out of the hospital and doing really well. Several months later, the preacher bumped into this businessman in town, and he said to him, you know, when you were in the hospital dying, you promised to give the church $1 million if you got well. You remember that? Huh. This is what he said. Well, I haven't received it yet. The businessman replied, did I really say that? I guess that goes to show you how sick I was, right? Perhaps this also went to show how sick he may have become afterwards. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about inside. Robert Cunningham. This is in closing. Robert Cunningham ate a meal at his favorite restaurant. He had fried mushrooms. Have you ever had fried mushrooms? I'm telling you, I'm getting hungry. It's almost about lunchtime. He had fried mushrooms and a good burger with those mushrooms, and boy, it was his favorite meal. He just loved those mushrooms there. And he had this favorite lady that took care of him. She was a really nice gal. She had worked there for years. He had been going there for 7 years, and she had worked there for 19 years. Phyllis was her name. After his meal one particular day, Robert made a good-natured offer to Phyllis, and he said, now, Phyllis, he said, I'm going to either give you a tip or I'm going to split the winnings with you 50-50. If my number comes up in the next lotto drawing. Now, I'm not encouraging lotto buying, okay? I've never bought one. Anyway, she says, hey, I'm going to pick the numbers with you. She decided to forego the tip, and take a chance on the lotto. They sat down and picked the numbers out together. On Saturday night, Cunningham won the jackpot of $6 million. Now, that would almost make me buy a lottery ticket. I said almost. Long story short, he gave her half. Gave her $3 million. Cunningham, who was a police officer, sergeant, a husband, a father, and grandfather decided to do the right thing. He said, friendship means more than money. People mean more than money. Souls mean more than money. The salvation of people, of family, of friends, is more important than money. May God help us reevaluate our approach to living, if we need to, and realize what it takes to put God first and foremost in our life. Now, I don't encourage playing the lottery, but I do encourage honesty and integrity. If we make a promise, we need to keep it, no matter the cost. A yes is a yes, and a no is a no. Amen?
Amen.
Stand with me, will you? Well, I'll be honest with you. I have thought many times I made a mistake by preaching these. It was said long ago. But this one here is relevant for us right where we live. And I think we all need to just take it very seriously. Not according to our view, but our view of God. And if we need a proper concept of who God is, this may help us see who He is a little bit. Heavenly Father, as we come to You, we thank You for Your Word. Jesus, we realize this teaching goes beyond just making an oath, profanity. It goes beyond being a person of promise and integrity and honesty. I pray that You will help all of us to be determined to take a little more serious our walk with You and Your teachings on these very difficult subjects. What it means to profane Your name is not just using the Lord's name in vain. It's just not using the slang. But it's making decisions. It's choosing to lie. It's choosing to take advantage of people. It's choosing not to respect others. Oh God, give us a fresh glimpse of who You are. Help us in these next days, I pray. In Jesus' name. You know, I'm not going to ask anybody to come to the altar because I'll be honest with you, all of us would be here this morning. Oh, maybe you wouldn't, but I know I could think of a few things where I needed to submit it all to God. Some areas, some things, and I'm sure as well. So as we leave here this morning in this moment of honesty before God, may the fellowship of the Lord go with you. May the love of God the Father fill your hearts. And may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit not only fill your life, give you strength and grace to be people of integrity and honesty. In Jesus' name.